keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed on AOA. Now back to Mike Pearson.
Thanks for tuning in to AOA today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we're going to be talking about inflation, I think, for quite some time here as we look ahead to the summer and on into the fall. And it's clear that inflation, as we just heard from Kurt Covington there, it's changing, it's squeezing the margin of agricultural producers in this country, but also around the world. Couple that with supply chain issues and policy changes, we're seeing the dairy industry reshape itself, both domestically and globally. To that end, we're going to talk today about how that industry is shaping up with Will Lukes. He's the Vice President of Global Economic Affairs with the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Will, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thanks, Mike, for having me on.
Let's talk first big picture. As you look out at the world ahead, Will, do you expect to see U.S. dairy exports continue growing here in 2022?
Yeah, so I think we'll want to differentiate between, you know, some of the short-term things we're running into and also some of the long-term opportunities that we've got. You know, U.S. dairy exports had a fantastic year in 2021. We had records by nearly every metric and grew by double digits pretty much, or double-digit growth pretty much across the board. 2022, we've gotten off to a little bit of a slower start in volume terms, but value of our exports has really been exploding, up 22% through the first quarter, really thanks to greater cheese exports, which are a higher value product, as well as higher commodity prices. So that's really kind of given us a boost. But I do think 2022 in the short term is likely to be a bit choppier, largely because, as you mentioned in your intro, inflation and high input costs has really limited, you know, some of our production here in the short term. So we haven't necessarily had as much product available to export. So, you know, non-fat dry milk or skim milk powder is our biggest dairy export product. And we export 80% of, you know, what we produce here in the U.S. for non-fat. But our production has been down 9% over the past 9 months, really due to those high input costs caused by inflation. And so, you know, we've moved a lot more cheese, increasing the value. But our volume's gotten off a little bit, you know, bumpy here to start the year. But I really think in the back half of the year, we're starting to see some more milk come online here in the U.S. And so I'm getting pretty optimistic about the back half of the year, but it's really long term over the next 10 years that has me really optimistic that we're going to see a lot of growth out of the United States for dairy exports.
Well, and that's, I think, what I'm curious about the most, Will, is you look out at that long-term perspective for U.S. dairy. Obviously, domestic producers are seeing their margin squeezed. They're seeing their productions disrupted by the inflation and the supply chain issues. Are you seeing similar things play out around the world? And in which countries are seeing herd size shrinking or milk production declining?
Yeah, so we certainly are seeing that around the world. I think the key thing is these input costs, the things caused by feed, high energy prices, even steel and aluminum, if you want to expand your farm, all these things are really, you know, impacting suppliers around the world. But when we talk about global dairy exports, we're really talking about three suppliers. We're talking about the European Union, New Zealand, and the United States. The three of us really make up 75% or three quarters of global dairy exports. And we're not getting a whole lot of milk right now in the short term out of any of them. The U.S., as I mentioned, has been tight due to input costs. But it's Europe and New Zealand that not only are tight in the short term, but in the long term, I think we're really going to see some declines in production, particularly out of New Zealand, just given a number of different factors there. But the U.S. is the one that's structurally well-placed to really grow its milk production over the next 10 years, whereas I think we're kind of tapping out here as to milk coming out of Europe and New Zealand, which opens up a big opportunity here for the United States.
It does. And I wanted to zero in on that New Zealand issue for a second, if you would, Will. What policies additional besides inflation, besides the supply chain, are happening in New Zealand to drive their dairy herd to be shrinking or perhaps less competitive is a better way to put it on the global scene long term?
Yeah, so their dairy herd is really shrinking for a number of factors. But kind of the big one is New Zealand is almost an exclusively pasture-based system. And so if you're going to grow milk production or grow your herds in New Zealand, you really need to add more land. You've got to have additional pasture in order to, you know, feed those cows if you're not going to use any sort of feed for those cows and if they're based off grass. But the New Zealand government has put in a couple different regulations as it relates to water that have really limited the ability to really increase your farm size due to nitrates going into the soil. And so as a result of that, what you're seeing here is really just there's not a whole lot of investment in dairy happening in New Zealand. And instead, you know, New Zealand's dairy is coming under kind of competition for land now. So it's not a big island for one or two islands, I should say. And so as a result of that, you're seeing increased competition from sheep, from horticulture, really from planting trees to get carbon credits. That's really going to limit and really push some New Zealand farmers away from dairy and into these other investment opportunities for them.
That makes sense. Just competition driving up costs. I want to turn the focus over to Europe. Of course, that's been in the news a lot lately with the Russian invasion of Ukraine upending supply chains in that continent. Will, is that one of the factors that has dairy declining in Europe, or are there other things at play?
Yeah, so Europe's a little bit interesting. So there's obviously a lot of different countries that we're talking about with Europe, and some things happen at the big European Union level, and some of them are happening at the individual member state level, whether it's the Netherlands or Ireland and Germany. But really, all of them are being affected by what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. They are big exporters of Ukraine, for instance, is a big exporter of fertilizer. So is Russia, and that's driven up fertilizer costs, and even here in the U.S. But they also are heavily reliant on those two countries for natural gas. And so Europe has been dealing with really high input costs as of late, which has led to declining milk production overall. You're seeing the two biggest producers, milk producers in Europe, Germany and France, really not be able to get any more milk over the past couple of years out of their farms, as you've seen instead a lot more investment happening in Ireland and Poland and to a lesser extent in Italy. And so you kind of have some countries on the way up and some on the way down, but longer term, it's not just about these high input costs. It's about a number of environmental regulations that are really focused heavily on reducing cow numbers as a way of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And, you know, the United States obviously has our net zero initiative that is heavily focused on reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, but we focus very much on increasing our productivity over that and finding ways of making sure that we can feed a growing global demand and consumers who want dairy products, whereas I think a couple of European countries have been more focused on, well, let's just reduce the cows, and by having no cows, we'll have no emissions. And I think that's challenging them in terms of actually meeting this demand that we're seeing around the world.
Yeah, it's tough to meet dairy demand without cows. That is a fact. As we see New Zealand and Europe back off in dairy production, Will, and the U.S. continue to remain efficient and grow in productivity, where do you expect to see the first growth or the first new growth, I guess I should say, in the export space?
Well, we're already having plenty of growth as far as dairy goes. You know, over the past 10 years, on average, U.S. dairy exports have grown by 5% per year. I expect that to very much continue over the next 10 years, if not accelerate. And I think that's going to come from a lot of different markets starting to look more and more to the U.S. as their supplier of choice if their consumers are going to keep consuming dairy. And so we've seen a lot of growth over the past couple of years from China, although they certainly have had their own issues here as of late with the lockdowns in Shanghai and elsewhere. But longer term, you know, I think that's still going to be a growing market. But really, it's our partners in Mexico, still our number one largest market. It's Southeast Asia, where we have great relationships with customers there and have really built a growing U.S. presence in the region. It's Japan and Korea, which are big cheese and high-value whey consumers and importers in the world. And it's even the Middle East, which, you know, up till very recently has been Europe's backyard. They obviously have a very, you know, short shipping distance to get from Europe to the Middle East. But right now they're so short on product, it opens the door for the U.S. to really be there as committed long-term suppliers to grow with their demand. So this is really a global opportunity for the U.S., but there are specific markets that, of course, the U.S. Dairy Export Council and the checkoff program are really targeting for our promotion efforts.
And USEC, of course, keeps track of this stuff. Will, where can listeners go to keep up on this information from the U.S. Dairy Export Council?
Yeah, if you go to our website at www.usdec.org, you'll find all of our information. We always put out a running report of what happens in the latest trade data. You'll see that from us, as well as what's going on around the world on a global basis. You can find that too, and just more information on what we do and how we support farmers and the whole U.S. dairy industry overseas.
Thank you. We'll check that out, folks. We'll be back with more AOA.